I call the House Housing Finance and Policy Committee to order. Let it be known that we have a quorum. Welcome, members, to today's hearing. We have two bills on the agenda, but before we get to them, if I could seek approval of the March 3rd minutes. March 10th minutes, excuse me. Co-Chair Howard moves approval of the minutes. Is there any discussion to the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. Members, we'll move into our first bill on the agenda today, which is House File 4141. Representative Johnson, if you want to make your way to the front. While you're getting set up, Representative Johnson, the plan today is to lay your bill over for possible inclusion. Representative Johnson, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, co-chair, members. House File 41 amends Minnesota Statutes 609.2231 to include Housing and Redevelopment Authority employees. The statute provides higher criminal penalties when certain public employees are assaulted while performing their duties. The statute recognizes that some public workers cannot avoid conflict and provides stronger deterrence to protect essential public services. HRA staff work directly with the public in high-stress situations, including inspections, enforcement, benefit denials, and evictions, risk factors already recognized for other protected employees. This proposal does not create any new crime, does not extend government authority, and simply adds HRA employees to the existing statute. The legislature has already determined that when workers cannot avoid public contact or walk away from conflict, stronger penalties are appropriate to deter violence and protect essential public services. Protecting HR employees supports workforce stability, reduces turnover, and helps ensure housing services remain accessible and effective nationwide or effective statewide. Including HRA employees in statute 609.2231 is an update that reflects today's realities and protects the people working every day to keep Minnesota house. And I also have my testifiers here today.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. We'll move to your first testifier, Melissa Taphorn. Welcome back to committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and continue with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Chair Igo, Chair Howard, and members of the committee. My name is Melissa Taphorn. I'm the Executive Director of the Washington County Community Development Agency, as well as the Legislative Chair for Minnesota Chapter of the National Association of Housing and Redevelopment Officials, or NARO. Minnesota NARO members believe that adding Housing and Redevelopment Authority employees and agents to Minnesota Statute 609.2231 recognizes the risk our employees take in doing their job to serve the public. Housing and Redevelopment Authorities are tasked with a wide variety of housing-related programming. HRAs administer tenant-based rental assistance, own and operate affordable housing, buy and sell real estate, redevelop blighted properties, provide home improvement funding, as well as counsel new homebuyers and struggling homeowners. The bill increases the charge and penalties when an assault of an employee or agent of an HRA occurs. Agents of the HRA is defined as an individual under contract with an HRA, paid or unpaid, or otherwise acting on behalf of the HRA. So many HRAs rely on third-party property managers, service providers, relocation consultants, and security staff to act on our behalf. We also work with volunteers to provide homebuyer education, financial management, and other self-sufficiency classes. The bill would make assaulting an HRA employee or agent while they're performing their official duties a gross misdemeanor. If the assault results in demonstrable bodily harm, it becomes a felony, punishable up to 2 years in prison and up to a $4,000 fine. This is consistent with other public employees under that statute of our same, I would say, public service level. I asked our members, NARO members, for examples of recent crimes against their HRA staff, and I received a long list, but I'll share just a handful of those with you. Our property manager was assaulted on property. She was never able to return to work, and the suspect was charged with fifth-degree assault. This is before this bill was passed, obviously. The maintenance guy was pulled from his vehicle in a parking lot and beaten up by non-tenants. Concussion and other injuries were sustained. A homeownership specialist was sexually assaulted following a homebuyer class. The son of a resident threatened staff, then came back and shot up the staff's car, which was parked near the front of the building. He was upset with the officer because she would not allow him into the building. On-site building security was chased by a resident with an 8-inch knife. Resident was punching the security desk and kicking the door, screaming he was going to kill the security staff. Our assistant property manager was assaulted by a trespasser. An unhoused individual forced open the apartment's secure doors and charged at staff with two machete-type knives, telling her he was going to kill her. One of our housing specialists had a heavy set of keys thrown in her face by a person unauthorized in the property, ended up with a black eye. A resident's daughter was punching staff after fighting with her mom, and then once they were on the ground, started kissing him on the back of his neck. That daughter was already cited with a trespassing violation. So many of our NARO members also reported frequent threats of violence to HRA employees that the resident would kill, shoot up, or blow their heads off. HRA staff have a responsibility to serve the public, and we love what we do. But we also need to provide a safe working environment in order to attract and retain our quality employees. So thank you, Representative Johnson, for bringing this issue forward, and committee members for your time and consideration of House File 4141.
Thank you for your testimony. The next on my list will be Terry Smith. Welcome to committee. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, Chair Igo, Chair Howard, and members of the committee. My name is Terry Smith. I'm the director of the Metropolitan Council Housing and Redevelopment Authority. We are the largest administrator of tenant-based rent assistance across the state of Minnesota, serving 7,300 households and about 20,000 individuals with rent assistance, primarily through the Federal Housing Choice Voucher Program. I am also an active member of the Minnesota chapter of NARO, the National Association of Housing and Redevelopment Authorities. I'm here to testify in support of House File 4141 on behalf of Minnesota NARO and its membership. Across the state, Housing and Redevelopment Authority employees have experienced increasing aggression and threatening behavior from some stakeholders, including residents, program participants, property owners, property managers, and others from the community. These incidents include threats of violence, physical assault, and other forms of escalated behavior. Public service is rewarding work, but it's also really hard work. And in these times and the past years when we've experienced these escalated behaviors, the work becomes even harder. We still do our best to provide good quality public service to the people that we serve. I want to share a few examples of things that have been experienced by my agency, but also from around the state. In recent weeks, we had our administrative staff that takes all the first line of contact with the members of the public, and the person on the telephone was not getting what they wanted. And after escalated call, 17 calls in one day from this individual, she threatened to have her uncle come down and take the place down, come down and toss hands with our employees, which means, of course, to come down and fight the employees to get what she needed. In another recent example, a Metro HRA housing inspector attempted to complete a federally required health and safety inspection. During the first attempt, the tenant swore at the inspector, yelled aggressively about the scheduled time and other things. The inspector ended up canceling. During the second attempt, the tenant recorded the inspector upon arrival, which is not against the law and something that happens frequently. When the inspector asked permission to enter into a closed bedroom as required by federal regulation, the tenant began yelling aggressively. The tenant continued yelling, using expletives and demanding the inspector get into a bedroom. The inspector noticed a hatchet strapped to the tenant's waistband, which made them move into exit mode. This inspector was able to back up and safely exit the unit, but this could have ended very differently. So that's just one example of some of the things that our team members experience in the community on a daily basis. Metro HRA and housing authorities statewide remain committed to maintaining a safe, respectful, and professional environment for both employees and residents. We treat applicants, participants, property owners, managers, and other stakeholders with dignity and professionalism, and we ask for the same in return. This is an issue impacting agencies, employees across the state, regardless of size. So some agencies might have 5 employees, others may have 200. And as we have discussions in our Minnesota NARO communities and committee meetings, agencies are experiencing all kinds of examples like this. Passage of House File 4141 will strengthen protections and support for HRA employees across Minnesota, helping ensure they can continue providing critical public service safely and effectively. So thank you for your time and your support of House File 4141. I'm happy to answer questions.
Thank you for your testimony. With that, we'll move into member discussion and questions. Vice Chair Dotseth.
Thank you, Chair Igo. Representative Johnson, I want to thank you for bringing this bill forward. I believe that this bill will help put some reasonable guardrails in place that help make everyone feel safe at the workplace and also in the housing itself. With that said, I also see that actually can actually make it help more affordable as well, where we're not required to actually come back for reinspections. As you mentioned earlier with the testimony of the testifier had mentioned that they had to come back for a reinspection. If you have to do that multiple times, that's a cost that gets that put back on housing. I think this could help alleviate that issue as we move forward as well. So thank you, Representative Johnson.
Any further member discussion? I'll just close kind of going off what Vice Chair Dotseth said. Thank you for your leadership on this bill and this proposal. Again, this is a very important issue, and very confident that with us laying it over today, we can have it hopefully included with some tweaks and stuff as we clean it up and work it into the rest of the things we're working on here around landlord-tenant work here in the Housing Committee as we work on our policy bill here in the closing days. So, Representative Johnson, thank you for your leadership and bringing members of your community here together to bring this bill before us. But I'll give you the final word, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Chair, Co-Chair, members. This really is a worker safety issue. We have to make sure that those who go out there and serve the public, their families know that they're going to come home at night and that they're not going to be dealing with injuries and stuff like that. And that's what this is all about, is just making sure that those that we send out to do the work for us can go home safely to their families. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. With that, House File 4141 is laid over. The next bill on the agenda is my bill, House File 3951. So I'll hand the gavel off to Vice Chair Dotseth.
Thank you. Our next bill is House File 3951, offered by Representative Igo. Igo has made your way, as you make your way up to testify, and the testifiers follow up. Is it your motion to re-refer House File 3591 to judiciary?
That is my motion. That is my motion, Mr. Chair.
Wonderful. I see you have an amendment. Would you like to move your amendment, A1 amendment, to put the bill in shape the way you'd like it to be, Chair Igo?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
All those in favor, say aye. Aye. Opposed? The bill passes, or the amendment passes. Chair Igo, will you explain your bill, please?
Yes, Vice Chair Dotseth, to my bill as amended, House File 3951 is one of those good bills where you have multiple different groups and advocacy groups coming together to work on an issue that has been brought up in front of this committee before and then was taken to the interim to work on so we can find a way so that we're taking care of not only just landlords but also tenants as well. The bill is focused on sub-metered utility service and making sure that folks who pay their rents, either that be through online portals or as they move out of their rentals and have sub-metered utilities for the partial of their time spending there, it's going to be put into the law so it's safe, secure, and it's easy to understand for both our tenants and our landlords. So pretty straightforward bill, but with me I have two testifiers that can do a great job at telling the story of how the bill got here today and how we've reached such good agreement and why the bill should move on today.
Thank you. Our testifiers, I think, will start with, I know we've got Ron Elwood, supervising attorney for legal aid. Would you like to go first, Ron, or would we like to refer over to Cecil Smith, president of and CEO of Minnesota Multi-Housing?
Thank you, Vice Chair Dotseth, Chair Igo, Chair Howard, members. Cecil Smith with the Minnesota Multi-Housing Association. We had two issues that have some relationship to each other in terms of providing fair, accurate, and timely service for residents and an ability to collect a fair payment for utilities. And the different interests of the advocacy groups, and including the Attorney General's office, were are represented in this bill. We worked through the interim over a number of meetings, collaborating and finding something that we all agree upon and we think is a good solution. It offers tenant protections, especially on portals, where technology is great until it doesn't work, and this offers some protections for when it doesn't work. And then, you know, I've had to apologize to my members because the original revisions of Chapter 504B 216 that included utility billing did not cover the final utility bill. The bill was silent on how we did the final utility bill because utility billing doesn't necessarily match up with leases. And we needed a mechanism to do that in statute. And that's what we have before you today.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Any questions for Mr. Smith? Otherwise, we'll open it up to Ron Elwood, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I also want to thank Chair Igo and Chair Howard for authoring this bill. Mr. Smith explained it very well. I just want to thank him and the Multi-Housing Association for working so collaboratively with us. This is kind of a model of how I think we should be doing work around here. We came to them with a problem. They came to us with a problem. We sat down. It took us quite a while to get to the final language, but as everybody knows here, there's nothing simple around here. So we worked hard, and I would appreciate members' support and happy to answer any questions.
Representative Scraba, you've got a question.
Thank you, Chair. The bill says that they can't put any of the things on the bill. Can they send a separate bill with late charges and everything? Or is the intent to get rid of, because I just switched apartments and I went from the first floor to the second floor and I had to pay the building my gas and my electricity goes right to Excel. And that in itself was another issue that they don't send, timing is everything. And if you don't have your next address in there because you have to go to the post office to get that done, and before, if you do it after, the bill comes. So I just went online and paid everything online. But not everyone has that ability. And I thought it was pretty confusing. I'm like, what would happen if that was sitting in the mailbox in my other apartment because I can't get to it anymore? And then I get a late fee because I didn't know it was in the mailbox of my old number. I'm in my new number. And then I'm like, well, just go ahead and try to catch it. Went to the office, said, how do I pay everything in advance? And it was kind of a downer. Now I could see where this actually helps. But can they not put it on that bill, but on a separate bill, clip you for a late charge?
Mr. Smith, I'm assuming that this question would be more directed towards you.
Yes, Chair Dodd-Seth. Member Scraba. So this bill relates to submetered utilities. So this is not Excel, not CenterPoint, or apportioned utilities where we have a shared meter and the utilities are apportioned to each of the departments based upon the formula that's given in the rest of statute 504B216. The only thing that can be billed here is the maximum $8 administrative charge on the final bill, and it can't be two administrative charges. There's only a single administrative charge on apportioned utilities. And the late fee can only be if the last month previous was at least 30 days late. So you have a lot more protections on utility billing that is submetered or apportioned than you do your experience with the utility company. And certainly that was where we were very, very careful, and thanks to legal aid and the AG's office that we got this language very, very defined, very prescriptive, so that there's no question about what can be charged and when it can be charged.
Representative Scraba.
So, thank you, Chair. And just to be clear then, my submeter, that is so much a month, if I didn't pay it the month before I moved out, I'd be held accountable for that. But if I paid that and then the next bill, I can't, I'll get an administrative charge, but I can't get a late charge.
If you paid it within the 30 days, you can't get a late charge.
Okay. Certainly if I pay it within 30 days, sorry, thank you, Chair. So if I pay it within 30 days, it's the same. So where's the advantage? I'm trying to find what it still can have a late charge.
Chair Dodseth, Representative Scraba, you can only have a late charge if you haven't paid it within the next billing cycle.
Moving along, if anyone else wishes to testify or has it, wish to testify in House File 3951. Again, I'll ask it one more time if anyone wishes to testify or ask testify in House File 3951. Otherwise, members' discussion. Members' discussion. Chair Howard.
I'll just be brief and happy to be a co-author on this bill and to the collaboration that's led to it. It feels like when we're looking at landlord-tenant law this session in particular, just given the dynamics, anything that's going to move forward probably requires some level of give and take and dialogue back and forth, and this bill is a good example of that. So happy to support it.
Thank you.
Chair Igo, would you like to make final closing comments, please?
Yeah, thank you, Vice Chair Dodseth, members. Thank you to my co-chair for being a sponsor of this bill with me. Again, Mr. Elwood said it best. This is something that happened outside the legislative body where you had two groups who both had issues, came together, solved it, came to the legislature and said, listen, we have an agreement. Let's get this thing moving and make a difference for landlords and tenants. That's what we have in front of us today. So I'm very proud for the opportunity to carry it in front of us today and hopefully get it moving on so we can bring this solution to the people of Minnesota.
Thank you, Chair Igo. Chair Igo renews his motion to re-refer House File 3951 as amended to Committee of Judiciary and Civil Law. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Motion prevails. I will, if Chair Igo has nothing else, seeing no other items on the agenda, this meeting is to be adjourned.